everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of Radar, the podcast that takes you into the world of Safran, focusing on everything that concerns the group on a day-to-day basis. In this latest episode, we take a look at the day-to-day lives of the women who work at Safran. That's right, the aerospace industry is not only for men. Women are increasingly joining the group in key positions all over the world. To mark International Women's Day, Radar is taking a closer look at the ways in which women are supported throughout their careers within the group, and in particular, an initiative that encourages their development, Women's Networks. To find out more on this topic, we are joined by Claire Gatier-Caillot, Senior VP, Head of Skills, Talent, and Inclusion at Safran, Cécile Provin-Cadieux, Head of the Methods and Tools Department, Purchasing at Safran Electronics and Defense, and Veronica Klein, Sales Director, America at Safran Cabin. So let's head over to Safran's headquarters to meet Claire Gatier-Caillot. Hello, Claire Gatier-Caillot. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
So as I mentioned in the introduction, you are Head of Skills, Talent, and Inclusion at Safran, and we're talking about women in the group. So first of all, what proportion of the workforce do women represent? Are there really as few women in the aerospace industry as we might expect?
By the end of 2023, women represented 29.3% of our global workforce. We have a positive recruitment dynamic that will help us in terms of feminizing our workforce, with over 36% of our hires being women last year. However, when we focus on our managers and executives, it's clear that the challenge remains significant. As an illustration, in 2023, women accounted for 26% of our managers and around 20% of our executive positions worldwide.
I know Safran has a lot of commitments in terms of D&I for lots of topics around inclusion. What are the ones for gender diversity in the workplace?
Regarding professional gender diversity, many, many actions have been undertaken by the group or within the group. It's impossible to mention them all, but I could highlight, first of all, the very strong commitment of many employees of the group to engage with middle school, high school, college girls, to introduce them to our professions as early as possible, and to inspire them to pursue technical and scientific careers. Within the group, I could mention actions such as awareness campaigns on unconscious bias, for example, or against sexism, but also personal development programs, mentoring programs, and on the ground, in the different companies, initiatives such as the development of Women's Network.
Well, let's talk more about this Women's Network. I mean, I know that there are tons of initiatives that you guys have put into place to support gender equality in the workplace. The one about Women's Network specifically was created because women at Safran really wanted to get together to discuss, share experiences, get informed. Could you tell us a little bit more about these networks?
Today, women expressed the need to connect, the need to come together in a supportive environment to share their visions, their experiences, their questions sometimes, and to challenge themselves, but also to reflect on different subjects or issues like mental load or parenthood or work-life balance, etc. And if we look back a bit, the very first network within Safran was Women at Safran, and it was established nearly a decade ago at the headquarters under the impetus of four of our female leaders. And for the past 5 years, new forms of networks have gradually emerged in different geographical areas, in the US, the UK, China, or in the Toulouse area, for example, and within different companies in the group. They offer new modalities, new formats, such as networking events or conferences or mentoring and coaching programs or co-development, etc. Ultimately, what we see is that there isn't a single model, but as many models as the needs or desires emerging from the ground. And at the group level, we are convinced of the importance of these networks. They all contribute to our common desire to develop a culture of inclusion and to promote equal opportunities within the group. Our objective at the group level is then to encourage these networks to give them visibility internally or externally, and also to help them creating connections, sharing between themselves to capitalize on the different initiatives and action, and thus increase their impact.
To do so, let's travel to North America to see what initiatives they have put in place on the other side of the Atlantic. Hello, Veronica Klein. Welcome. So, Veronica, you are the sales director at Safran Cabin, and you are also at the head of Women at Safran North America, which covers the US, Canada, and Mexico. Can you tell us what is Women at Safran all about and what are its various initiatives?
Thank you so much. Yeah, Women of Safran, it's an organization. It's an actual ERG or affinity group that was founded 4 years ago. And the main goal was just to help women be more representative in this humongous Safran group conglomerate of 90,000 employees. We certainly look at the opportunity to showcase more women, help them get promoted, help them to realize that there are opportunities to work in other divisions and just and simply grow. So based on that, 4 years ago, we founded this organization. I've been leading it for a year and a half as a president, but I started literally since the beginning as a volunteer. And today I'm very happy to share that there are so many new initiatives. For example, our quarterly calls. Topics can vary anywhere from how to improve your finances, or give you more self-confidence, or even to look and navigate through the different Safran tools that we have. We're spread throughout Canada, through the United States and Mexico. So what we're pushing now is for the local divisions to form their own little Women of Safran. I call them local chapters. So they can also start doing local events and getting more women involved. It's working great, actually. We just founded a chapter in Mexicali. So Mexico is actually growing fast. And I think our next target locally wise will be in Canada. The United States is pretty, let's say, active. I have very, very, very active chapters like in Gainesville. Safran Seats US is one of the strongest ones that I have at the local level. And the last couple of things that we are normally doing here as well is we establish partnership with different organizations that are also supporting women. In this case, for the last 2 years, we've been active partners with Leading Ladies. Leading Ladies is an organization that started in 2000, and it caters different industries, not only aerospace. And their goal is fairly similar to Women of Safran. So we partner with them because they have developed content, professional development and leadership development content, seminars, workshops, etc. And we tap into those resources.
Why is it important for Women at Safran that they get together to discuss and share ideas like you were mentioning?
Actually, this is a very strong component. And this is one that we actually cover in our first kickoff call for this year, the power of network. Last year, for instance, we host our first regional event in Dallas, Texas. We had it with 8 different divisions of Safran. And all of the comments that I was hearing at the end was like, oh my God, Veronica, thank you so much. We're so excited. I had no idea there were that many females in the group. Network, it's a powerful tool if you know how to use it. So now women are capable to connecting to themselves and help each other no matter what. It can be something simple as, hey, can I use you as a reference to apply for a job in Safran? But it can also be to help you with something personal. That is the power of network. So we're very excited to be a big contributor to this aspect, and women certainly appreciate it.
You said you've been involved in the organization from the very beginning. Have you noticed a shift in the behavior of the women who are members of your network? You've mentioned all these really great initiatives and touch points and really lofty goals of, you know, the reason that Women at Safran exists. I'm curious about what results you've been able to see so far.
This is kind of the part that gets me super excited because we started with maybe 100 members and today we are 1,000 members. So right then and there, I already see the engagement. The other thing is I have noticed that they're less afraid to talk about anything and everything they have in their mind. They feel that this is a safe space for them to share their struggles, their issues, their concerns, or their goals and aspirations, and it's perfectly okay. And how? It's simple. I just hear them and speak more, participate more on the calls, be more proactive, raise their hand, really make their comments, or by just the amount of emails that we're getting now versus when we started. I mean, now it's like, hey, Veronica, I want to volunteer for the regional event. Veronica, I want to be a speaker. Veronica, I know so-and-so. And not only to me, but our committee, right?
Oh, that's wonderful. Really the power of the network. So I know that sometimes women's networks can be criticized for being elitist, right? Like they say they only benefit executives sometimes, or they exclude men. What are your thoughts on these?
Well, definitely not our approach. And we were very clear since the very beginning. We have our mission and vision very well established. And yes, of course, it is to support women. But we cannot do it without men, okay? It's a partnership. We have to have allyships with men in order for them to understand what our goals are and see, give us a little more equality when someone is applying for a job, for a promotion, and look us exactly the same no matter how we look. And I think that's the ultimate goal, right? To really make it more fair and more equal to absolutely everyone. So we can definitely not do it without men. And another thing is, in fact, you know, even in my own committee, I have all levels of experience that are joining, because for me in particular, it's more important, more relevant to have somebody who has a true desire to support and be involved and be part of something than a beautiful resume or a nice title. So for me, at even my committee level, I have ladies who are only 1 year into their careers or 1 year into the group, but their wish and their desire to be part of something bigger and more meaningful is there. So I'm giving them the chance. And it's the same way for our members. We have 1,000 members, anywhere from anybody that works in the shop all the way to a high VP. That's not matter.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Veronica. And thanks for coming on the podcast to share your mission and ambition for women at Safran with all of us. Now we're headed back to France, to the offices of Safran Electronics and Defense. Together, let's discover the Athena Circle. Hello, Cécile Provin-Cadieux.
Hello, Kayla.
So, Cécile, you are the head of the Methods and Tools Department within purchasing at Safran Electronics and Defense, and you are also one of the founders of the Athena Circle. Can you tell us a little bit more about this circle?
Yes, of course. We co-created the Athena Circle in September 2023 with two other ACD women, and of course, with the support of the Human Resource Department.
I'm curious about the name Athena Circle. How did you choose it and what does it mean?
Athena is a powerful figure in Greek mythology. It's also a symbol of reason, wisdom, and intelligence. It's this reason that made that we choose Athena. The Athena Circle wants to give women the desire to dare and to help them feel legitimate. Our ultimate goal is to feminize SED and to reverse the trend to make female employees want to work for our company.
And how many members are in the Athena Circle today?
Currently, we have around 100 members. They are coming from El Bouge Association, the Women Voices, also from Network of Experts, and also School Ambassadors.
So you said that the Athena Circle was created in 2023. What's on your roadmap for 2024?
We have many things this year. We have around 10 events scheduled, such as roundtables, conferences, podcasts, workshops, and also portraits of inspiring women. We also want to put in place the experimentation of a new item, the mentoring of new recruits. It's not just a question to recruiting women. We have also to make them want to stay. It's very important to precise that many of our activities are with the external help of the Curiosity Club, which is an organization promoting gender equality and networking, and also our internal organization, which name is Become, to help employees' personal development.
So, Cécile, tell us, what are the goals of the Athena Circle?
This type of space is necessary for different reasons. At first, to share the keys to meeting the challenges of professional development. Then also to experiment in order to develop our soft skills, but also to be informed about all the potential career paths with the organization. And finally, to learn more about the different tools that are available to female employees, such as Talent Boost. So that in conclusion, this community will enable its members to gain confidence and find inspiration through exchanges and organized events.
Well, thank you so much, Cécile, for explaining everything about the Athena Circle. It was really great hearing about what you have planned for the upcoming months. And thank you again to Claire Gatier-Caillou and Veronica Klein for being our radars today. We'll see you soon on a new episode of Radar.